direction to go. But let's just have a little Q&A for a second. None of you. I'm going to talk to you. You get to listen in on it.
Good.
Tell us about your life. There may be some people who has never heard Liliane.
Oui,
merci beaucoup. How many of you have never heard her before? Can I see a show of hands? That's a lot of people. Okay. Tell us a little bit about your life. Tell us growing up. Tell us about your father.
Yes, okay. So my father was born in the jungles of Africa in Albert Schweitzer's hospital.
That's probably me, I'll back over.
Okay, missionary parents. My grandparents left Switzerland in 1930, and they were missionaries there for their entire lives. And my dad, they went to Gabon, in the jungles of Gabon. That's a French-speaking country. It was colonized by the French. And so my dad was born there in the jungles, in the hospital that Albert Schweitzer created. And there was a zoo and a hospital. That's what he was known for. But besides that, my dad grew up there, went to Bible school for 2 years in England, and went back to the jungles. My mom came from Holland, had an amazing call of God to go to the French heart of Africa, the French-speaking equatorial Africa. That's all she knew. She knew she was called. And so the Lord really confirmed that calling for other people, because back in those days, in the 50s, I mean, what kind of young girl would just leave her family to go to Africa? Well, she did, and she knew that was it. There was a no-return trip, you know. You go there, and you don't come back, and you don't know when you'll be back. But anyways, so my parents, my mom, of course, was a single girl, never wanted to marry. She said, Lord, how can I get married and love the same man for the rest of my life? I'd rather be a single. Back then, it's interesting, back in the 50s, you know, to think that way. Nowadays, yes, but I mean... she went to my grandparents' mission station. Back in the days, they had mission stations. And this is how the Lord used missionaries to protect them from sicknesses that they did not know how to stand against, and different things that were happening. But anyways, my mom there, of course, went to my grandparents' mission station and met my dad there. And of course, they got married. Fell in love, got married, and went eventually to the Congo in 1965, January of 1965, the Belgian Congo, that is. And a long story from there, and how the Lord used them to start many, many churches. And growing up, I saw miracles and wonders and healings, crowds of people, and big campaigns, evangelistic campaigns. That's how my dad started. He was, I could say, he was an apostle. He would do the work of an apostle, and a work of an apostle is also being an evangelist, being a teacher, a prophet. He was a prophet to the nation, definitely, and also pastor. He started many, many churches. We don't know how many, but anyways, it was amazing. He's a legend. He's in heaven now, 3 years ago, in... 7 days, 3 years ago, he left for heaven, and I'm telling you, he's happy. He really ran his race to the fullest, never believed in retirement. My mom is still over there. She's 87 years old. Any questions? I'm going on and on.
No,
sorry.
No, this is wonderful. Growing up as a kid, how was it living on the mission field?
You know, that's all we knew, and so for us, it was the best life. My parents, my mother would bring us to the meetings. It was right at the independence time. The Congo, Belgian Congo, got their independence in 1960. So they were really anti-Belgians. Well, how can you tell Belgians from Swiss? You know, you can't. So risky. It was, how do you call that? Dangerous. Being a white was dangerous at the time. But my dad went ahead and had open-air meetings, evangelistic campaigns. And there were miracles and wonders. And my mom says, we need to bring the little girls. We were three little girls. And my dad didn't want that because of the danger. But my mom says, they have to see. When God is moving, you need to bring your children to see.
Absolutely.
Even in praise and worship. I mean, my kids were like, they had to see us praise and worship. They had to see the move of God, even if they move a little bit, or even in the prayer meetings. My mom would bring us. And, you know, that's all we knew. Of course, the one thing is we would go from church to church, and we were the only little white girls with long blonde hair. And we stood out. Yes, I did not like that. I did not like to stand out, to be noticed, because everybody looks at you. You got out of the car, and all the little kids were there looking at you. And I'm like, oh, there we go, you know. And I was very, very shy, and I guess this didn't help us. But they would always give us the best seats up front, and I felt like, oh, why do we have the best seats up front? Of course, my dad was going to preach. That's why. And, you know, they really honored us, and it was amazing. Those meetings in those African churches, oh, my. I didn't realize, but it was a move of God that was happening there. There was the rain. Mm-hmm. The rain was there. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. The singing. You know, okay, it was really awkward to be the only little white girl. You know, everybody looked at you. But once they started worshiping God, it's like, okay, they forgot about us. And it was beautiful. The rhythm, the songs, they would worship with their whole body, with their whole being, you know. And we felt a thrill. It's like, oh, my. And I never dared to really lift my hands because I knew they were watching us anyway sometimes. And I'm like, okay, you know, hallelujah. But, oh, what a presence of God. And then my dad would step up and preach, and I was mesmerized every time. You know, at the edge of our seat and just listening to him. It was this old-time preaching with the stories of the Bible that came alive, you know, that kind of preaching.
Well, I never got to meet your father, but I've watched many videos of him online.
You did,
I've watched. Okay. He's on YouTube. Quite a bit of his stuff is on mm-hmm. YouTube, and I've watched quite a few videos. It was amazing. Mm. Even though I don't speak French fluently, I still listen to him, and he was wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Enjoyed the
services.
Passionate,
yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so, well, I won't ask you any more questions. We'll let you get into the word that you feel God has laid on your heart. We're so thankful that you're here.
Thank you
for coming. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank
being
you
here.
So much.
Let's give her a hand.
Can I use this? I will put your little notes here. Yes, thank you. Yes. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for having me this morning. And I really enjoyed our time last year. I came about that same time before I went to the Congo, and it was amazing. There's a real presence of the Lord here. What do I do? I just go on? Is it because, I don't know. I'll let you do it. Figure out. Well, hallelujah. There's a real presence of the Lord here. It was the same thing last time, and I'm telling you, you have a good church, you have a good pastor. A good pastor's wife, and you know, I'm believing with you for the rain to keep on falling, for your church to grow, because we know that we are in the end times, and we know that we have a work to do. So I'm going to share something with you, the word with you this morning, and also some of my experience concerning this. But something has been really how can you say that? It's been really stirring in me. It's grown as this last 5-10 years, you could say. And it's been growing on the inside of me, and I've been very, very conscious of it. And that is about learning to speak. Learning to speak as a believer. Learning to use our words. Because words are powerful. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We need to be conscious of the power that is in our words. God has given us this privilege to be speaking spirits. We are to use that power. But you see, as good as it is, it can also be very bad. Life and death. And so I believe as believers, as Christians, we need to learn to speak. We need to teach our children how to speak. You know, my parents came from good old Pentecostals, you know, when the move came to France and Holland and Switzerland, you know, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were with the Pentecostal churches, they didn't have the teaching that we have received as, so to speak, a word church, word of faith. I believe that we needed that because God needs us to go from glory to glory. We need to know how to speak in order that when we need to speak to the mountain, it will happen. You see? And so my parents did not teach us that, but I'm telling you, they knew how to speak. And it's very interesting because my mother, being a midwife, she would work at the hospital, and she was so stern. I was there when I was 16 when some women were giving birth. She says, "Lilian, do you want to see a birth?" And I said, "Sure." And I'm like, "Oh, my, I'm glad I'm only 16. And the conditions were not as nice, of course, but she told that lady, that the young girl was screaming, "I'm dying, I'm dying." And she says, "Don't say that. Do not say that." She says, "Now say this after me. Everything is going to be all right. I'm giving birth to life." I mean, she knew about the power of the words. She knew how to speak to us. I remember she always said, being a midwife, she says, it's not pain. She says, it's work. It's labor. Don't ever say pain. I mean, this is what she used to say, which is very interesting because that's what the Bible says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are today what you said yesterday. So I'm going to speak a little bit about this. I've started already. But let's also turn to James chapter 3, verse 2. Tu peux prendre quelques photos aussi pour moi après? Tu sais comment faire? Merci. Okay, oh, before I start, I have, Steve, you're going to have to stand up now. Stand up. This is one of my twins, Steve. So, and I have five boys, five sons. Philip is almost 27, Daniel almost 25, and Steve and David are 22. And his twin, they're identical mirror twins. Oh, my, that's very, very special. And when I knew I was pregnant with the third time and twins, it was like, oh, wow, what a blessing. I think everybody needs to have twins. You guys need to have twins. You have two. Your third pregnancy should be twin boys. And who has twins here? You have twins? Only one family has twins? Oh, I thought you were... Okay, well, do you know what? It can happen. Yeah. No, twins are amazing. I think everybody needs to have twins. My twins were just an amazing blessing. And after, when the twins were just one, found out I'm pregnant again. So, five boys, and the baby is 20, and he's in Bible school in Tulsa right now. And I'm telling you, and the twins went to Sweden to Bible school. And I'm so blessed with all these amazing young men of God. And I know God is getting them ready for what he desires them to do. But I have an idea myself, too, of course. I mean, mothers have to know, right? So, hallelujah. James chapter 3. So it's so nice. Steve came with me from Minnesota, Minneapolis. And that was very, very nice. James chapter 3, verse 2. For we all stumble in many things. Now, really, this passage is kind of interesting because it sounds kind of negative when James talks here to the church. It is to the church. If anyone, this is it. If anyone does not stumble in word, so underline that, he's a perfect man. Now, of course, we're going to go from perfection to perfection, right? That means we're not going to stumble in our words and we're going to learn how to speak. Able, so what's a perfect man who's able to, how do you say this in English, brittle?
Bridle.
Like a bride, okay. Bridle, able to also to bridle the whole body. So that's a perfect man. This is where we're going. We're going to perfection. That means we know how to bridle, means to control, to hold, to direct, right? Indeed, verse 3, we put bits, you say bits? Bits, okay, in horses' mouths that they may obey us. So what does that mean? Well, let's read the passage first. And we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire or world of iniquity. I told you it was really negative here. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. Whoa. Yeah. Right. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Told you it was negative. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Okay, now, this is what we need to underline. My brothers or sisters, these things ought not to be so. Come on. In other words, that is what our tongue can do. It can be untamed. It can be the most evil thing you've ever seen. It can set a fire. It says fire from hell, mm-hmm. even as a believer. We need to learn to speak. Said, it should not be so. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. We're going to pray first. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and thank you for your word. Father, we need to learn from you this morning. We ask you to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the name of Jesus, that we may understand, that we may put in practice what you give us this morning through your word. Thank you for anointing your word. Thank you for boldness to speak. And Father, every ear is anointed to receive from you whatever they may have of need of. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to speak to each one of the people here. Father, you know their needs. You know where they're at. You know their cry and their heart's desire. And Father, I thank you for showing it unto them how to receive from you, what adjustments they need to make, because sometimes it just takes a little adjustment and to see the way to be open, to see the direction given. In the name of Jesus, well, Father, we give you all the glory right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, hallelujah, we need to learn to speak. So here we see in James that we can control our tongue. We can decide what to do, what to say. That what we are today is what we said yesterday. If we're not happy with what we've seen so far, well, let's check on what we are saying. You know, the one thing is, it's been on my heart so much about, I've been listening. I've been listening to what I say. I've been listening to what people say. And, of course, we cannot be confession police, you know, when we all learn about confession. We're like, oh, you can't say that. We can't. Well, you know, why do we do this? Because we're conscious of what people are saying. And we are training ourselves. So it's good to train ourselves. It's good to know how to speak. We need to listen to ourselves. And if we say, well, you know, Lord, I don't know what I did wrong. Well, ask the Lord. Show me. I need to, you know, the Bible says to watch and pray. Yes, we need to pray, but we also need to watch. Watch ourselves, watch in the Spirit, and be aware of the words that we speak. We have so much power in our words. I mean, we see here in James chapter 3, and I never really liked that passage because I thought, my, it's really evil. Our tongue is untamable. No one has tamed the tongue. Well, it's to show you that this is like the one extreme, you know. It's the death that's been shown here. And let's start with verse 2. So if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. So this is where we're going. We're going to be perfect. Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. What does it mean? It's a church that knows how to speak. It's a church that watches their word. It's a church that does not speak vain words. That just not, you know, have all these, how do you call that? These expressions instead of saying hell. Sorry, guys. They say heck, you know. I mean, I don't say that. I don't talk like this. And the same in French. You know, in French, people use different words. Well, I don't say them. I never could. To me, it's not right. I'm not judging anybody. That's just me. I don't believe that's right, okay? And I remember, actually, Brother Hagin used to say that. But, you know, if you were not there, you don't know. But anyways, now I'm here, and you can hear that. I remember he said that, and there's different words that replaces, so you don't sound really bad. You kind of use the same kind of idea, but it doesn't sound as bad. Is that true? Right? Yeah. You know, and it's interesting because people pick it up fast. You know, I remember my kids, and I'm talking about the two older ones, you know, not the ones that are here, but my kids, the two older ones that came to the U.S., actually the oldest one, he picked up on these expressions. I'm like, Phil, do you know what that means? You know, I'm like, no, don't talk like that. But it got in him so fast because all the young people were talking like this. And so this is what I'm saying, is that we have to be aware of our word, especially us word people. You, cuckoo, like we say in French. So I'll say cuckoo. Hello, you know. We need to be careful with the words we say. We need to be careful to say, oh, well, you know, I'm just kidding. We cannot, what I'm saying is that, yes, we can joke, but not joke in the point that it affects our words. Like, say, I want to say that he's really handsome today. Oh, well, you really look ugly today. Right? Don't people do that? I mean, I've heard that. Maybe it's just in Minnesota. I don't know. But you know, they say the opposite of what they mean. Well, you can't have in one source coming salt water or sweet water. It will not work. It's kind of like a gun. I don't know much about guns, and I know somebody here is really into probably guns, I think, and knows a lot about guns. And okay, let's put it this way. Sorry, I don't know much about it. You'll see. But a rifle, when it has powder and you put it in the water, it's not going to work, right? I mean, you have to use it a certain way. It has power. But if you don't use it the right way, it's not going to have power. Okay? Well, different kind of example, but, you know, I thought of a rifle. You know, there is power in our words. Our words are so powerful. You know, it says here in James that it can be like a little, it's like a little, une petite étincelle, how do you say that? A little spark. A spark that can burn our entire forest. That's our tongue. That means our tongue is powerful. So why don't we use it for good? Let's watch over our words. You want to be funny? Be funny in a funny way. There is a way to be funny, but not saying the opposite of what you're trying to mean. Because, you know, in Mark 11, 23 and 24, it says that have the kind of faith of God. Have God kind of faith. Faith is speaking, okay? Our words, we need to use our faith to speak. We need to speak things. Have the same kind of faith as God did. And Jesus was giving an illustration that he spoke to the fig tree and the fig tree had withered, and the disciples like, oh my, it worked. What, did you see that? And they were shocked. And Jesus says, okay, now this is the lesson. I believe he did that to give him a lesson. And, you know, I'm trying to think in English here. If anyone says to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Oh, it's here? Well, there we go. Okay. And cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart. Okay. So you can't doubt in your heart. But what? Shall believe what? Wait, wait, wait. Shall believe the word of God? Shall believe what you heard somebody say? Shall believe what? Now, you guys, you have to get this. Whatever he says. Shall believe what? His words. Do you believe your words? Do you believe that what you say comes to pass? Oh, you do, huh? Uh-huh. Sir, are we going to watch our words now? That believes whatever he speaks out. Believes whatever he speaks out loud. I have to speak out loud. Does it say good or bad? Whatever you say. It's not the good that you say, but the bad too. Oh, I really don't feel good today. I mean, aren't we conditioned to say things like this? But we have to watch our words. Believes whatever he says. So that means that we have to watch our words to say what we believe. If I say, oh, you're so ugly and I don't believe it, then I want to say, be healed in Jesus' name, and I want to believe it, I'm going to be really confused on the inside. It's not going to work. Because salt water and sweet water doesn't come out of the same source. Okay? So we need to learn how to speak. Why? Because the church that Jesus is coming for is going to be a glorious church. Why? Because whatever we say will come to pass. We say whatever we say. I am telling you, I was in Africa this last year. I was there for 6 months and had to come a little earlier here. And actually, I'm going back, God willing, in about 3-4 weeks. We'll see. Depends on the tickets. I can find a good deal. But and then work on my visa. And I can't wait to go. It's like, whew, it's time to go. But anyways, over there, there are many situations that happen. This is what I'm going to give you an example. Was there when my parents were still there, and the city is about 9.5 million people. It's the second largest city in French-speaking city in the world. First is Paris and then is Kinshasa. And the third largest city in Africa, Cairo first, Lagos, and then Kinshasa. And it's huge. Traffic everywhere, cars everywhere, because the war was in the interior, so a lot of people came for security to the city. And so there's no infrastructure as yet. The infrastructure has been, you know, it's like they're trying to now to build roads. Well, before that, it became impossible to drive in the city. And my parents, my dad was already advanced in age. I mean, he was in his 70s, and I remember it used to take him from the house to the church 20 minutes, and then it started taking 2 hours, 2 to 4 hours to go to the church because of the traffic. And I said, Papa, you need a helicopter. I'm like, everybody has planes or different ministers' planes. I said, you need a helicopter, and you need it. Really, you need it. But the only problem is where do you, you know, land and go, you know. But, of course, he wasn't going to get a helicopter. That was my daddy wasn't going to do that, but really he needed one. It was horrible. I mean, he was so tired when he got to church, and, you know, it was just impossible traffic. And I thought, you know what, enough of this. You know what I said? I said, I started speaking streets. I said, in the name of Jesus, those streets are bigger. The traffic police are wise. They know how to direct traffic. I started speaking and speaking and speaking, teaching the church about that. And I said, you know, we need to start using our faith. And it was so in me, and started speaking about the streets. and all the details. Said the streets are wider. The engineers, road engineers, whatever you call them, I'm sorry. I forget. The pont et chaussée. Ingénieurs de pont et chaussée. They have the wisdom of God. There is money to make big roads. I started speaking it. Now, there's a time to pray and there's a time to speak. You know, in Mark 11, you will see that first it's about speaking to the mountain and then it's about praying. Okay? You can either pray or you can speak. You will know what to do, when to do. Just listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside. He will show you what to do. But I knew to speak. And I was speaking the roads. Now, I'm telling you, the next thing I know, I go back to Belgium in an airplane, and I was sitting next to this guy, and he started talking to me, and I was not talkative, and I thought, I don't want to talk. But he was nice, and he started saying what he's doing. He had just met with the president of the government because he's an expert on roads. And I'm like, oh, my. I said, I've been praying for you. He said, oh, yes, well, you better pray because now it has to be agreement for the World Bank to agree for the roads, whatever. I don't know what the deal. I said, oh, don't worry. It's being done. Well, I'm telling you, it was the biggest thing they did. Everywhere, new roads. And actually, the Chinese came in, but it's okay. The Chinese are doing the roads in the Congo, and they're doing the roads everywhere. But it's okay. We'll use them. And there's some politics in there, but it's okay. We'll use the Chinese for what they can do. Apparently, the locals were just cheating on the government and giving them little roads and, you know, barely anything that would hold. And then as soon as there was rain, there was whole potholes everywhere. Well, the Chinese are doing pretty good. And so the roads are bigger. Yes. Now, to go from our house to the church, it is 20 minutes. And there's some, you know, everything is bigger. And so, of course, they had to level the houses that were just built illegally. But, you know, we're praying for these people. And, you know, our words are powerful. And so it is amazing to see the roads in that city. And I know I had something to do with it. Something, maybe not the only one, but at least I did my part. There are roads, new roads everywhere. It's amazing. And before, from the airport to the house, it used to take 30 minutes. Then it was 4 hours also. It was horrible. And you cannot drink too much water because you cannot go anywhere. You cannot stop. You don't want to stop anywhere. And because it's the city. It's the city life. And it's very interesting. But anyways, now the roads are bigger. And so when you come, it'll be easier. Okay? Yes. Our words. We need to use our words. This is what we're called to do as believers. You know, so verse 3, James 3:3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Look at also the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Did you see this? Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Okay, now, our tongue, you see the rudder, what does the rudder do? Okay, it directs. It gives the direction for the ship. They may be so many winds, storms, but what does the pilot do? Will he panic? No, he knows what to do because he knows the power of the rudder. We know the power of our tongue. What will we do when difficulty comes? Because that's where the test is going to be. What are we going to say? We're going to give a direction to our life by speaking. Even though the mountain is in front of us. Now, you say yes now, but please, please remember that when it happens. Because we know that we're going to go from glory to glory. You know why? Got news for you. Because we're going to go from trial to trial.
And a trial will go higher. Another trial will make us go higher. Another trial even higher. You know, you remember when it was a faith project to believe for $10? Well, how much are you believing for now? You see what I'm saying? It's from test to test, okay? But because, I mean, I told the Lord, I thought I had went through enough tests and trials. And I was in Africa, and I'm like, no way. Lord, I mean, really, you know, not to give you any details, but I'm like, no, don't, no. You mean I have to go through another trial? Didn't I go through enough? I'm like, yoo-hoo, wake up. From glory to glory means we're going to go from trial to trial. Because the trial, it's not given by God, of course, but it's going to allow us to grow and to put our faith or our words to the test. We are going to learn to speak. The rudder directs the ship in the middle of the storm. Okay? So we're going to have to do it. What are we going to say? We're going to say what we want our life to be for your church. What are you going to say? Our church is attracting people. The Lord shows us how to catch the fish. We are fishers of men. It's just incredible how we know how to reach out to people. It just comes so natural for all the church members. All my church members are open. They know how to hear from God. They know how to minister to the people because it is about ministering to the people. And the people want, you know, when you have a good product, you want everybody to know. So that's what you want to do. Say, I know how to share with people. You start saying these things. You know, even though you're shy, you don't want to talk. Say, the Lord leads me to the people that need him. You just keep saying it. Keep speaking it. My church is growing. Oh my, I see those seats full. Amen. Speaking and seeing is the same, almost same thing, but you have to speak it out loud. You have to say it out loud. And I'm so sorry, I haven't even seen where we are. Jusqu'à quelle heure? He pretended. Midi trente. Je ne sais même pas quelle heure il est. I didn't even see. Okay. Okay, so we were saying we need to speak out loud. We need to direct our lives. Remember what comes out of your mouth. Remember, it is when the trials are there that you're going to be tested. It's like when you learn at school. You have a subject, you learn, and then guess what comes? Testing time, exam. That's all it is. It's just an exam. You know, a storm never lasts. We know that. So just don't give up, but direct your life through the storm. You know, in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not fear evil. So we're walking through it, and we're going to have to speak. We're going to have to speak. Continue saying out loud. Believe in the words you are saying. Watch what you're saying so that when you have to use your faith, it will work. Your spirit man or your soul, it's not going to be confused. Your spirit man is not confused. Your soul is not going to be confused. Okay, your spirit man knows. So you have to train your soul. You have to know how to speak. Be very aware of this. And every day, put into practice. Put into practice everything. So here we go again. Let's go on. This keeps shutting off because I didn't train it. You have to do something and whatever. This was just given to me. Wasn't I blessed? Yeah. I ped air. Isn't God good? So it's not been trained yet. But anyways, so, hallelujah. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest. And so we saw how the tongue can set fire. But use it for the good. And see how peace and healing and deliverance it can bring. You see, the more you use your tongue for that, the more you will have that faith in your words, when you talk. I mean, it's happened to me. I know. But I remember at the beginning when I was doing it, it was like, oh, it felt really awkward. It's like, am I for real? You know? But you keep doing it. It's like new shoes. You keep wearing them, and then they'll fit right. They'll feel comfortable, and you'll feel right at home. And it's like using your words. You have to do it. Okay? So he's talking to believers. Watch what we're saying. Now, I want to just read this. Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth, you see, pleasing God. The ones that please God is the one that walk in faith. How do we walk in faith? Is putting in action what we know. Is speaking the word of God. Is agreeing with what God is telling us. So we have to please our God with the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart. Well, it's what you meditate. What is in the heart comes out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's meditate on the word. Let's know what God says about us so that when we need to speak, it'll just come out. And we will please God because he wants us to reign on this earth. How are we going to reign if we do not speak? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at, I'm giving you just a few verses, Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You're taken by the words of your mouth. So you can say it the opposite. You're free by the words of your mouth. You see, if we do not watch what we're saying, we're trapped. Like in a trap. When you trap, it's like, it's not the devil, it's you.
Oh, hello.
Okay, the devil could jump up and down with joy when he sees that we're using our words bad. But we don't want to agree with those lies. We don't want to be trapped. So how to untrap yourself? Let's say you're trapped. Well, start saying the word of God. Start saying in the name of Jesus, my body's healed.
Yes.
I am healed.
Yes.
I walk in divine health. And probably it's screaming at you, I'm hurting. But just speak to it. Keep speaking. Is it going to happen instantly? Normally not, because we have to grow. It's not because of God. It's because of us. Because we have to believe that whatever we say will come to pass. So it'll take practice in order to believe that what I say instantly comes to pass. I heard a minister tell me, she said that, you see, God, Jesus is going to come back for a glorious church. It's because whatever we say will come to pass instantly. And we will know how to use our words. Because of the power that is set in our words. God created the earth. How did he create? It's with his words. He spoke. He framed the world with his words. The word was in the beginning. In the beginning was the word was with God. Why the word? Because this is God spoke the word. This is how he created. Now, I know I've heard some testimonies in heaven that apparently you don't really necessarily have to talk. They can hear what you're thinking. I mean, do you know that right now I can pray to God without you hearing it? I can even pray in tongues on the inside. You know that? I mean, do you know God hears that? You can even pray at night and not wake up your spouse and just pray on the inside. It's as powerful, okay? But why do you have to speak? Is it to communicate? Well, actually, God spoke to create. There's power in our words. What are we going to create? Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. I read that somewhere. It didn't come from me. It's from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, yes, positive thinking is good. But it's not just positive thinking. It's speaking out loud for things to come. And I'm going to leave you with this verse because I think I'm almost done. I don't know. I didn't even pay attention. Yes? What time did I start? Okay, I'm not going to keep you long. I love this verse, Matthew 16:19. Woo, glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. We got work to do. We got to learn to speak. And then I'll give you a story. So I just love this passage. Jesus says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What are the keys? Glory. That whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Okay, so what are the keys of the kingdom? What are the keys of the kingdom? Our words. Hallelujah. Okay, so whatever you bind where? Where are you? In heaven? Do you have to wait till you're in heaven?
No.
We're on earth. Whatever you speak. How do you bind? You speak. I bind this thing. I tell it to stop. You will not do this in the name of Jesus. You know, you can speak. You don't bind and rebuke people, but the spirit behind the people. Okay? Of course, we have to be careful when we do that to people. Now, I've done that. And I'm just saying this because sometimes you have to speak to the spirit behind that person. And I've done that. I said, in the name of Jesus, shut up. And the person stopped talking, turned around and left. Because it was a spirit. I was talking to the spirit of it. And sometimes, you know, we're going to have to become bold. We have to reign on this earth. We cannot let the devil use other people against us. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, we have to bind. And we have to loose. We have to do that. And this is what I'm doing when I go to the Congo. I'm doing that. I mean, being a woman, alone, my age, doing what I'm called to do, it's crazy. But God is God, and I have to do it because one day I'm going to stand before Jesus. I'm going to give a report of what he told me to do. Did I obey? You know, well, I couldn't do it because, you know, Lord, did you see I'm a woman and da-da-da. No, it won't work. We're all equal before God. We're all spirit beings. We're going to have to do the talking. We have big responsibility. We all have different responsibilities. Some of us, but we all have to talk. We're all going to have to work together. We're all going to have to speak. We're going to have to bind, and we're going to have to loose. We're going to have to use our words to reign on this earth. Okay? So, Norval Hayes has this great book, How to Live and Not Die. And actually, in that book, he's teaching people how to talk. How do you speak as a believer? What are you going to say? Well, you know, I need to vent. Where is faith in venting? You understand what I'm saying? Oh, guess what happened to me? And this and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay. It is so strategic to watch what comes out of our mouth. Yes, do you want me to pat your back and say, oh, poor you? Yes, we want to have compassion. Yes, when you need help, you say, give me your hand. Say, I need help. Help. And yes, the body of Christ is there to help one another. Okay? But watch out what comes out of your mouth. Because what you say is what you get. Okay? So there's a way of talking. Yeah, so what do you do when you go to the doctors? Well, this is really weird. I'm standing for my healing. I say, well, what's wrong with you? I'm healed. What are you going to say? Let me write it down because I can't say it. I don't know. Just follow your heart. You know, I mean, I've thought of that because I'm so conscious of my words. It's like, oh, what do you say? I'm standing for my tooth. Speaking, my teeth are strong. My teeth are whole. You know, we have to be due to speaking. But, of course, medical doctors are there. If we're not doing the speaking, that's not happening because we don't really believe in our words. Or it's because of us. It's not because of Jesus. Jesus did it all for us. Yes, it is by grace that we receive. But through faith, there's work to be done. Faith is putting in action, work or whatever you want to call it. We have to put in action what we have. This is how we reign. We're not going to talk about grace. Oh, yeah. No, we have to bind and loose. Well, we're under grace. No, we have to bind and loose. We have to use our words. This is how we're going to reign in this life. So I arrived in the Congo last October, and in my mother's house, and there were electricity cuts. And my mother, a week later, had to go to Germany to my sister to have her dentist, actually, have all these things done. And so she went, and I stayed for a whole month. And the first week, electricity cuts. And they have an electric, a group. Yeah, whatever you? Un groupe électrogène. Yes, you understand? Okay, good. That means when there's an electricity cut, the group kicks in. You know, diesel is in there. Generator. Okay, thank you. I knew somebody would get it. So there's a generator, and it costs a lot of money for that generator to function. So I thought, oh, I'm not going to do it, and I'm not going to put it on. So no air conditioning, no lights at night, just little candles. And it was hot. And I'm like, what am I doing here? This is crazy. And bzzz, if you go outside, mosquitoes. And so after a week, I'm thinking, what am I doing? Woo, wake up. We have to wake up. I'm like, oh, that's right. In Jesus' name, I bind this electricity cut. And in Jesus' name, we have electricity. This house has electricity the next day. So they have workers that come every day. And his name is Mwanza. And a little guy, very skinny, very black, very sweet. And he comes, he says, oh, madame, I cannot make tea. There's no electricity. I said, in Jesus' name, we have electricity. I don't care if the whole street has no electricity, but this house has electricity. And I refuse electricity cut, whatever it takes. And I started talking. He looks at me. He's like, huh? He says, oui, madame, oui, madame. And so every day, he kind of looks at me like, mm-hmm, okay, sure. You know, he respects me, and he wants to respect me. And he's a believer. And so, and then the gardener was there, and he hears the same thing. And I'm just speaking out loud. I'm like, you know what? Enough of this. We're believers, right? So we're going to start speaking. I don't want this electricity cut. There's a big dam that's called Inga. And that big dam in the country there, a little further away from the city, is a huge dam that can, if it functions fully, bring electricity to the whole continent of Africa because the Congo River is so powerful. Okay, yes, wow, yeah. But is it maintained? No. Is it working? Not even half. Exactly. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to have this. This is working. The people have the intelligence, not just the intelligence, but no corruption. Because of corruption, that's why. It's working in Jesus' name. And I kept speaking to it. I'm telling you, not even a week. It's like, madame, we haven't had an electricity cut. It's like, oh, it's working. And I said, amen. That's right. Didn't we say that? Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So then I started teaching him because he's always not feeling good. He's always has malaria. Madame, I have malaria. And always this because, you know, he needs money for medicine. So I said, okay, Mwanza, you know what? You're a believer. Yes, madame. I said, you're going to start speaking to your body. And I started teaching him. And, oh, yes, amen, amen. He says, because, madame, every time madame leaves, I get sick when she comes back. I said, well, why don't you change that? Yeah, no, but, madame, really, it happens. I said, okay, now you're going to change that. Oh, yes, you know, so I start teaching him. Well, I'm telling you, we stopped having electricity cuts. It was very interesting. My mom came back. She says, we don't have an electricity cut. I'm like, that's right. And so one morning, I go down to the main house, and Mwanza is there. Madame, there's no electricity. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. I said, yes, there is electricity. Oh, yes, yes, that's right. Sorry, sorry. And, I mean, you know, you will be tested, okay? And so he's learning. So he's learning not to agree with the circumstance. So I'm like, yes, we have electricity. I'm like, oh, this, you know, you sound ridiculous, okay? Not that you have to tell everybody what you're believing for, but sometimes you will have to keep your claim. And so I went in the living room, and he was doing something there. My mother was there, and suddenly the electricity comes on. Now, the electricity, when it gets cut in the morning, it's until afternoon there's no electricity. Right away it starts. We hear, you know, all the lights are coming, whatever, and he says, madame, madame, there's electricity. And I said, yes. I said, now there you go. You see how you're happy? He was so happy. I said, did you see how you're happy? You have to be happy this way when the circumstances tell you the opposite. You have to stay in that joy. You do not have to let that affect you. Oh, I see, madame. You know, and it was so beautiful to see him growing in the word. So, going on the mission field, you need to use your faith. But here, too, you need to speak. You need to get used to speaking to situations. You know, you need to tell your kids. You need to speak to your children. You know, in Ephesians 6, and I love that passage also, and I think it's 10, I forget where. You know, having done all, you know, we're not coming against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and that's fine. They're going to come against us. No big deal. But what do? It says, having done all, you spoke, and you spoke. What do you have to do? But it's not happening. What do? You stand. Why do you stand? Why do you stand? Because you have the victory anyways. But the only thing that you should do when you stand is use your sword. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. We have to stand and speak. The tests and trials are going to come, but we know what to do. We're just going to have to stand. Stand how? As champions, because we are champions. But we have to keep holding on to the profession of our faith, holding on to what we have said, and keep saying it if you want to say. And the more you say, the more you believe. Because when you believe, your mind hears it. When you speak it, your mind hears it. And I'm telling you, we just have to hold on and stand. But keep using our sword. Amen? Right. We keep using our sword. There's life and death in the power of our tongue.